wouldn't come home to him, wanting nothing more than to be fucked in killer heels. He made a mental note to go and buy her a dozen pairs of sexy, sparkly heels. And while he was at it, he'd definitely be buying more of the naughty lingerie, complete with access slits. Chapter 27.
Is Brittany coming?
Mia asked when Josie slid into the booth next to Bethany.
She texted right when I was leaving the apartment and said she'd meet us here, Josie replied. I think she'd be here any minute.
Did she say anything about her night? Bethany asked. Josie grimaced and shook her head.
Nothing. She said she'd fill us in when she got here. At least she's off today and didn't have to deal with a hangover at work, Mia said. Those shots kicked my ass. Gabe was sweet and babied me before he left for work, but I went back to bed and stayed there until it was time to meet up for lunch.
Bethany snickered.
Yeah, Chase was sweet too. Amazing the gratitude they show for drunk sex.
Josie laughed.
Ash brought me coffee and what he called a hangover cure. I don't even know what it was. Several pills. But it did the trick. After a shower, I actually felt human again. Oh, look, there's Brittany now, Bethany said, raising her hand to wave.
Brittany navigated the busy restaurant and then slid into the booth next to Mia.
Hey, gang, she said brightly. Now there is the face of a girl who got some, Mia said dryly.
Brittany blushed bright red, but her eyes were glowing.
Spill, Josie demanded. We're dying to hear all about Kai Wellington.
Brittany laughed.
Oh my gosh, you guys, he is amazing. I don't even have words. He has this dark, mysterious thing going on with him. He doesn't say a whole lot, but when he talks, you just listen, you know? Get to the good part, Mia said impatiently. What's he like in bed?
Everyone burst into laughter.
Well, we didn't have sex last night, Brittany hedged. He brought me to my apartment, tucked me into bed. I don't remember anything after that, but this morning, I woke up, and he was in bed next to me. He'd stripped down to his boxers, and let me just say, that man is built. I was drooling all over my pillowcase, for God's sake.
Josie chuckled at Brittany's animated description.
He was so sweet, too. He made me breakfast in bed, then he took me into the bathroom to shower.
He took you into the bathroom? Bethany asked. As in, got in the shower with you?
Brittany blushed. Yeah, it was sweet, but also hot. I mean, all that gorgeous naked male flesh, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So what happened then? Mia said.
After the shower, we went back to bed, and then we had sex.
Brittany wore a smug, satisfied smile. Yeah, the sex must have been really good, judging by her expression.
And? Bethany demanded. Come on, don't leave us hanging. He just looked like he'd be a beast in bed, so dark and brooding. A lot like Jace.
Okay, stop, Mia said with a shudder. We can talk about hotness all we want, but can we please leave Jace out of it?
Josie pulled a face.
You're no fun, Mia. Can't you forget he's your brother just for a little while?
Mia shook her head adamantly. Brittany laughed and then leaned back in the booth, sighing a dreamy sigh that told Josie she was in deep already. But then who was she to judge? It hadn't taken any longer for Ash to completely reel her in. She'd been a goner the minute he'd dragged her out of her apartment. If she was completely honest, she'd admit that she'd been a goner that very first day in the park. It had just taken her longer to realize that.
It was awesome, Brittany said. And yes, total beast in bed, so demanding and possessive.
She shivered, chill bumps breaking out over her skin. Then her expression dimmed and her lips twisted into a grimace.
Nothing at all like my first husband. Ugh, not even in the same universe.
Forget him, Josie ordered. He's in the past. Move on. Now tell us more.
The others burst into laughter again. They were drawing attention from the other tables, but Josie didn't care. Normally, she'd be appalled over being the focus in a public setting, but she already loved these girls, and she was having fun.
I orgasmed 3 times, Brittany said in a loud whisper. 3 times!
That's 3 more times than I ever came with my husband.
Yay, Bethany said, a broad smile on her face.
So what now? Was it a one-night thing? Did he get your number? Is he going to call?
One question at a time, Bethany, Mia scolded. She can't keep up.
But yes, Brittany, tell us everything.
Brittany smiled, and Josie saw just how beautiful she was. Her eyes shone, and the shadows that had haunted them were gone. She seemed more sure of herself. She seemed happy.
Oh, he got my number. Made me program all his numbers into my cell. Wanted to know what I was doing today, where I was going and with whom. Then he told me that this was not a one-night stand and that I better get it out of my head now if that's what I was thinking.
Wow, Mia whispered. That sounds intense.
He didn't even ask if I wanted to see him again,
Brittany continued, a goofy grin plastered on her face.
He told me he'd be at my apartment this evening to take me to dinner and that I was staying over in his hotel.
Josie frowned.
So he doesn't have an apartment here?
Brittany shook her head.
No, he's been in Vegas getting the new club ready to open. Now that it is, he's planning to spend a lot of his time out there, or at least for the first few months. He travels a lot, going between his clubs, so he doesn't maintain a permanent residence anywhere.
How long will he be here, then?
Bethany asked, her lips turning down into a frown that mirrored Josie's own.
Brittany shrugged.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to take it one day at a time and see what happens.
Who knows? Maybe I'm just an itch he wants to scratch while he's in town. I know better than to read more into the situation. Good way to get my hopes crushed.
He could scratch his itch with me, Mia muttered. Bethany died laughing.
I'm so telling Gabe you said that.
Mia glared at her.
No, you won't. Girlfriend's code.
What's discussed with girlfriends stays with girlfriends.
True, Bethany agreed. But it's fun to tease you.
Besides, I've got more than I can handle with Gabe. I can look. Nothing's wrong with my eyes, or my hormones, for that matter, but I have no desire to touch another man, she said cheekily.
Is it possible to fall in love at first sight? Brittany asked wistfully. I'm 30 years old, and I've never been in love.
I certainly wasn't in love with my husband.
I'm worried that Kai just overwhelmed me and that I latched onto him because he was so attracted to me. I just wonder if I would have responded to any guy the way I responded to Kai.
Josie reached over to squeeze Brittany's hand.
Absolutely, it is possible. It happens more than you'd think. And you need to stop beating yourself up over your first marriage. Shit happens. But you got out. Now it's time to move on and give yourself a chance at happiness.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Bethany said.
And Jace swears that he fell for me the first time he laid eyes on me. And from what you say, it certainly seems that Kai fell pretty hard himself.
Mia slung an arm around Brittany's shoulders.
Go for it, girlfriend. Have a great time. If it works out, great. But if it doesn't, you'll have us to fall back on. Not to mention, Ash and the guys will beat the crap out of Kai if he fucks you over.
Bethany grinned her agreement. Even Brittany's eyes sparkled with amusement. Josie didn't say anything since she well knew that Ash would do just that. Mia's words were just that, words. But Ash wouldn't hesitate to go after someone for hurting someone he cared about. He'd already proven that much.
You're right, Brittany said. I should just go with it. Have a good time. I'm reading too much into it.
He probably just wants some action while he's here, and since he's the bomb in bed, that's not a hardship. I just hope I don't get all whiny when he leaves.
Maybe he won't, Josie said with a shrug.
He looked pretty into you last night, and from what you've said about him, this doesn't look like just a pussy call for him.
Pussy call? Mia cracked up. I'm so going to steal that from you. That's hilarious.
I think you're right, Bethany agreed. I mean, that's all I thought I was to Jace that first night. I never dreamed he'd turn the city over looking for me. And let's just say, once he found me, that was it. Not that we didn't have issues, but he was in it for the long haul.
So what about you and Ash?
Brittany asked, turning the attention to Josie.
I've never seen my brother this intense over a woman. Not that we spent a lot of time together, mind you, but I would have known if he'd been with the same woman for a long time.
Long time, Josie exclaimed with a laugh. We've only been together like 2 weeks.
He's a goner, Mia said solemnly. Trust me, I know. He and Jace always fucked the same women, and it wasn't always pretty. I met their last piece of ass.
She winced and cleared her throat.
Not you, Bethany, before you. Ah, shit, but there goes my foot into my mouth again.
Bethany's cheeks turned pink, but Josie laughed.
Don't, Bethany, it's okay. Really, I love that we can talk about it and not let it be all awkward between us. Really, it's better that way.
Brittany looked thoroughly confused, but they didn't fill her in.
Anyway, as I was saying, Mia said, before I inserted the foot, was that I met up with Jace and Ash's last chick. They took me out to eat, and I swear she followed us there. No way she just happened to be in the same place we were. Totally wasn't her style, if you know what I mean. We were in a pub munching down on nachos and other yummy lowbrow stuff, and she marches up like a woman scorned and made a scene. Insulted me in the process because she assumed I was her replacement.
She shuddered delicately as she said the last.
Didn't go over too well, huh?
Bethany said with a grin. Mia winced.
No. Let's just say she didn't take the it's the end message very well, and my point in bringing this up was that Jace and Ash were banging the same chicks for a long time, and then suddenly Jace met Bethany, and that was over, and then Ash met you, and it's obvious that his banging random chicks is over, too. I've been around him a lot of years, and he never hung on to the same woman for as long as he's been with you, Josie.
Glad to know that, Josie murmured.
So, are you in love with him?
Brittany asked.
Should I be asking what your intentions toward my brother are?
Everyone laughed, and Josie held up her hands.
I was gentle last night. Promise. You didn't answer the question, Mia said pointedly.
Josie sighed.
Yes, I'm in love with him. I haven't told him. I wanted to make sure I told him at the right time. It sounds so stupid, but I don't want to scream it out when we're having sex or caught up in the moment, nor do I want to tell him when he's doing something really sweet for me because I want him to know I mean it, and that I'm not just spouting something in the heat of the moment.
Has he told you he loves you?
Bethany asked softly.
Josie grimaced. No.
He does, Mia said resolutely. No doubt in my mind. Holy hell, the way he looks at you? Totally makes me shiver.
Brittany nodded her agreement.
Not to mention the way he went off on Mom when she made that scene at the restaurant and said that crap about you. I thought he was going to choke her. I wouldn't have tried to stop him either.
They all laughed again, and then were interrupted by the waiter bringing their orders. For the next several minutes, they shoveled food in and laughed and talked about the guys, sex, and, well, more sex. Josie couldn't remember when she'd had a better time.
Everything was so perfect.
She had Ash, and really, if that's all she had, she'd be one happy bitch. But now, she also had really good girlfriends. She really liked them. They were genuine, had huge hearts, and there wasn't a fake bone in their bodies. What more could she ask for? She was now a successful artist. Her work was actually in demand. So what if it was only one person? It only took one. Whoever it was had loved her work enough to scoop everything of hers up as soon as she brought it in. And now she had great friends and a man she adored, and she was pretty sure he adored her, too. Maybe they hadn't said the words yet, but Josie was confident that Ash was the one. The words would come. He'd already talked about their future like it was a done deal. He'd even told her she'd get the rock. He'd even mentioned their children. No man who wasn't thinking long-term talked about engagement rings and babies. She sat back with a sigh, indulging in a glass of wine with the others. She had someone to drive her home. Why not? An hour later, the girls said their goodbyes and got into their respective cars to head home. Josie offered Brittany a ride since she'd walked to the restaurant, and the two chatted all the way to Brittany's apartment.
Today was fun, Brittany said when they pulled to the front of her building. Thanks so much for inviting me today and last night, Josie. I really enjoyed myself.
You're welcome,
Josie said with a warm smile.
I had fun, too. We absolutely have to make this a regular event.
Absolutely, Brittany said as she climbed out of the car.
And keep me posted on Kai,
Josie yelled after her. Brittany turned and gave her a thumbs up and an exaggerated smile. Josie settled into the back seat and texted Ash on her way back to the apartment. She'd told him she was having lunch with the girls, and he'd told her to have fun and let him know when she was headed back. Maybe he'd even get to come home early from work. Anticipation licked up her spine as they drove through the city. She couldn't remember the last time she'd been so happy, so carefree and utterly satisfied with the direction of her life. When they arrived at Ash's apartment building, she got out and thanked the driver. As she headed inside, the doorman, who was on the phone, put his hand over the receiver and called from across the lobby. "Miss Carlyle, a package came for you while you were out. It's on my desk. Shall I have it brought up to the apartment?" Josie smiled. "No, that's okay. It's small, right? I'll take it up with me." She'd ordered some new brushes and knew they were coming in today.
"It's in the office. Give me just a second, I'll get it for you."
"Oh, no need," she called. "Finish your call. I'll just get it and bring it up with me."
"Miss Carlyle?" he called after her.
She pushed inside the small office that housed deliveries and glanced at the desk where a small package was sitting. With a smile, she went over and tucked it underneath her arm. When she turned to go back out, her gaze caught on several covered paintings resting against the far wall. She frowned because one of them wasn't fully covered, and it looked an awful lot like hers. But what would they be doing here, of all places? She hurried over, unrepentant about snooping. She pulled back the covering and gasped. They were her paintings. Chapter 28. Josie quickly rummaged through the others, her stomach knotting as she took in every single painting she'd sold in Mr. Downing's art gallery. What on earth? She let the covering fall and stepped back, the knot in her stomach growing bigger. Oh no. No, no, no. It couldn't be. He wouldn't have. But he had. The evidence was staring her right in the face.
"Miss Carlyle, please, you shouldn't be in here," the doorman said from the door.
"No, I don't suppose I should," she murmured.
She pushed past him, ignoring his calls for her to stop. What on earth could he possibly say? She shoved into the elevator, tears stinging her eyes. How could he have done it? She felt like the biggest fool on earth. She'd never dreamed that Ash had been the one to buy all her paintings, but it shouldn't have surprised her. He'd orchestrated every aspect of their relationship so far. Desolation settled over her. She wasn't successful. She wasn't independent. Everything she had came from Ash. She was living off his money, in his apartment. Nothing had been bought with her money. Her earlier sensation of rightness, that she'd found her place in the world, was gone with the discovery of those paintings. She swept out of the elevator so agitated she couldn't even think straight. Her gaze settled on the boxes, most of which had already been unpacked. She walked right by them and sagged onto the couch, covering her face with her hands. She was utterly humiliated. Every single time she'd excitedly exclaimed to Ash over the success of her work came back to her in waves of embarrassment. And he'd let her. He'd lied to her, something she wouldn't have imagined. No, he hadn't come out and denied buying the paintings, but then she hadn't asked. She'd never dreamed that he'd been behind it. This was a lie of omission. So huge, so monumental, that she couldn't even fathom. What else had he kept from her? Tears burned her eyelids, but she refused to give in to them. She also refused to believe she was overreacting. This wasn't something small. Her success had enabled her to say yes to Ash's demands. She'd felt like she could agree because she felt capable of supporting herself. No way would she have gone blindly into a relationship with Ash with such a huge disparity between them. She'd been willing and able to submit because she'd been strong enough to come to him as an equal. Not that there'd ever been true equality between them, but her success as an artist, having money in her bank account and the means to support herself, had been very important to her, and it had evened the odds between them, at least in her mind. What she hadn't realized was just how unequal things were between them. She was living in his apartment,
All the money in her bank account was his. Not hers. Oh, God. He'd even paid her double. She should have questioned her good fortune. People didn't just walk into an art gallery and magnanimously offer to pay more than asking price for art. She was so stupid. Naive. A complete and utter moron. She'd actually believed that someone had been awed by her work. She'd believed she had real talent, even though Mr. Downing had refused to display more of her art because it wasn't selling. Now, she knew the truth. She closed her eyes, devastated by her discovery. She'd trusted him, had kept no part of herself from him. And he'd shit all over that gift. All his words about cherishing her gift, about protecting it and appreciating it, meant nothing. He'd made a gigantic fool of her. God, she'd even told the others about the sale of her artwork. She'd been so proud, so excited. Did they all know that Ash was her benefactor? Ash apparently operated on a need-to-know basis. What else had he decided she didn't need to know? She picked her head up, grief welling in her chest until she couldn't breathe. She sucked in ragged breaths, trying to assuage the burning in her chest, but nothing worked. She loved him. She'd thought he loved her. She rubbed at her temples, weariness assailing her. What was she supposed to do? She glanced toward the boxes, anger replacing some of her devastation. The hell she'd just stay here and pretend that she didn't know what he'd done. How could she? She was living a complete lie. And now she was faced with the knowledge that she wasn't successful. There was no demand for her work, and she'd been lax with her jewelry design business ever since she'd moved in with Ash. She'd been too caught up in other things to design new pieces and put them up for sale. She'd been comforted by the knowledge that she was selling her artwork as fast as she could get it to the gallery, and those pieces made her far more money than her jewelry did, or at least they had. Sucking in a deep breath, she forced herself to her feet. To action. It wouldn't take long to repack her belongings, and really all she wanted was her art supplies and the clothing she'd brought with her. Everything else belonged to Ash. There were things he bought for her, and she wouldn't bring them with her. Mechanically, she stuffed everything in the boxes, not taking the care she had when they'd been packed before. After 30 minutes, they were full, her overnight bag filled with her toiletries and her clothing. She stood surveying the room, knowing it would take several trips to get all the stuff to her apartment. Thank God she hadn't terminated the lease and still had a place to live. Squaring her shoulders, she pulled out her phone and Googled a local mover. After a phone call and a hefty bill for a last-minute job, all she had to do was wait. Wait for the people who'd remove all traces of her presence in Ash's apartment. It hurt. She hurt. There wasn't a part of her heart or soul that wasn't sick. But how could she stay with a man who'd so blithely manipulate her? He might not have ever physically hurt her, as Michael had, but right now Josie would take that kind of pain over the gut-wrenching agony she was experiencing over his deception. An hour later, the movers arrived and began taking the boxes down in the elevator to the waiting truck. Josie remained in the apartment until the last box went down. She silently urged them to hurry. She wanted no chance of Ash coming home from work while she was still moving out. He hadn't called yet, so she should have plenty of time. By the time he made it home, she'd be back in her apartment, and this time she wouldn't be swayed by pretty words and hollow promises. Damn him for making her love him, and damn him for pulling her into his world. She liked his friends, loved Bethany and Mia and Brittany and all the others. But they were his friends, loyal to him. She was accepted because of him, and now she'd have nothing at all. It was on her way down that she realized two things. One, she didn't have a ride to her apartment, and Ash's apartment wasn't convenient to public transportation. She could take a cab, but she'd have to have the doorman call for one, and it could take a while, especially at this time of day when all the taxi drivers went off duty. The other thing she realized was that she needed to confront Ash. She couldn't just move out and hide in her apartment. Not that she owed him anything, but she didn't want to go home, dreading the moment when he realized she was gone and the inevitable confrontation that would ensue. It would be better if she went to his office, said her piece, and made it clear they were over. That way, she wouldn't have to worry about him showing up at her apartment. For that, she would use Ash's driver. After all, he'd have to pick up Ash from work anyway. A quick check of her watch told her the driver would likely still be here. If he wasn't, she'd just take a cab to Ash's building, even if it meant waiting. From his office, she'd just take the subway. She rummaged for her phone in the big bag she'd thrown over her shoulder. After waving off the movers and providing the keys to her apartment so they could start unloading, she called Ash's driver, who, as luck would have it, was just a block away. A few minutes later, she was on her way to Ash's office building, silent tears trailing down her cheeks.
Chapter 29. Ash leaned his head back against his chair, still holding the phone to his ear as the conference call droned on and on and on. Christ, all he wanted was to get the fuck off the phone so he could head home to Josie. She'd had lunch with the girls today, and he was looking forward to hearing about her day. Afterward, he'd take her to dinner, somewhere quiet and intimate. They'd talk some more, and then he'd take her home and make love to her until they both dropped from exhaustion. A knock sounded at his door, and Eleanor stuck her head in. Ash frowned over the interruption, but then, if she'd poked her head in, it must be important. She was too efficient not to know he was on an important call. Temporarily muting the call, he lowered the receiver and looked questioningly in Eleanor's direction.
"Sorry, sir, I know you're busy, but Miss Carlyle is here to see you."
It took him a moment to realize Miss Carlyle was, in fact, Josie. He straightened, ending the call without hesitation. "Josie's here?" he asked sharply. "Send her in immediately." Eleanor disappeared, and Ash was already on his feet striding toward the door to meet Josie when she came in. Josie hadn't been to his office before. Hell, he didn't even remember if he'd told her where he worked. A moment later, the door pushed open, and Josie walked slowly in, her face pale, eyes swollen, like she'd been fucking crying. He was in front of her in seconds, pulling her into his arms. She went stiff and rigid and utterly unyielding.
"What's wrong?"
he demanded.
"What's upset you, Josie?"
She pried herself away from him and walked by toward the middle of his office where she just stood, back turned, her spine stiff. His gaze narrowed.
"Josie?"
When she didn't respond, he reached for her, turning her to face him. What he saw in her face he didn't like one bit. Dread gripped him by the balls as he took in her lifeless eyes. Josie always shined. That was just her. She could light up a room just by walking into it. She sparkled, had a gorgeous smile, and her eyes were always bright and sunny, like every other part of her. But not today. She looked worn, sad. She looked devastated. When she pulled away from him again, his lips came together in a tight line.
"Remember what I said, Josie. When you and I are talking, and especially if you're upset about something, we do not discuss it with a room between us. You're pushing me away, and that is not an option."
When he would have pulled her to him, she put both arms out, effectively blocking him.
"You don't get an option," she said tightly. "We're over, Ash. I've moved my stuff back to my apartment."
He couldn't even control his reaction. Of the 100 different things she could have said, he would have never imagined her saying this. What the ever-loving fuck?
"The hell we're over," he bit out.
"What the fuck is going on, Josie?"
"I saw the paintings," she said hoarsely. "All of them."
"Fuck." He blew out his breath and ran a hand raggedly through his hair.
"Not the way I wanted you to find out, baby."
"No, I guess it wasn't," she said scornfully. "I don't imagine you wanted me to find out at all."
"You're not moving out and calling it quits just because I didn't tell you I was the one who bought your paintings."
"Watch me," she said in an icy tone that was just not her.
"Baby, you need to calm down and let me explain. We'll talk this out, and then we'll move on." But I'm not having this goddamn conversation in my fucking office, and I'm damn sure not having it with you 4 feet away from me and you building a fucking wall between us.
Calm down, she demanded.
You lied to me, Ash. You lied. And I'm supposed to discuss and move on?
I never lied to you, he bit out.
Don't give me that crap. You did lie, and you know it. Moreover, you made a gigantic fool out of me. All those times I was so excited over selling those paintings. You let me talk about it with your friends. You let me feel like I'd done something great, that I was able to support myself, that I had money, options, a future. God, you really did a number on me, Ash. And every single part of it is and was a lie.
Jesus, he swore.
Josie, that is not what I intended at all.
She held up her hand.
Do you know why I didn't argue with you about moving in? Why I let you talk me into it so easily? Because I felt like I could. Because I had options. Because I didn't need you, but I wanted you. I thought I was self-sufficient, able to be somewhat equal, although I'll never have all the money you do, but it was important to me to be able to contribute something to our relationship, even if it was just a sense of self. Me having confidence. I was on top of the world, Ash, because I felt like for once I had everything. A career, you, really great friends, and none of it was real.
Every single one of her words sliced through him like a knife. Her face had grown even paler, her eyes more stricken. He hadn't thought about her sense of value, of self-worth, of her feeling like she had options. Of her not having to depend solely on him, even if that's what he wanted. But damn it, neither had he ever wanted to hurt her. That wasn't why he'd done it at all.
You manipulated every aspect of our relationship, she said painfully. You orchestrated every point. Every move was calculated and thought out. You played me like an instrument, and I fell right into your lap. I should have known better when you blackmailed me into dinner.
Hell, the fact that you had me followed, that you knew about me pawning my mother's jewelry. But I didn't pay attention. I didn't think those were huge warning signs, though it makes me a complete idiot for not recognizing them for what they were.
You are so used to being God in your world that you thought nothing of playing God in mine.
Josie, stop, he ordered. That's enough. I'm sorry I hurt you. For God's sake, that's the last thing I ever wanted to do. We can work this out, baby.
She was already shaking her head, and fear curled in his belly, spreading to his chest and into his throat, grabbing him, squeezing until he could barely breathe.
God damn it, Josie, I love you.
She closed her eyes, and a tear slipped down her cheek. When she reopened them, both were shiny with moisture, and there was such hopelessness reflected that his stomach bottomed out.
I would have given anything for those words, she said softly. I'd even convinced myself that you did love me, but just hadn't said the words yet. You have no idea how much I wanted to hear them from you. But now? How can I even believe you?
You've proven what lengths you'll go to in order to manipulate the circumstances so you get your desired outcome.
So how can I believe that's not what you're doing now? Trying to play on my emotions.
He was speechless, completely and utterly speechless. He'd never given those words to another damn woman in his life, and she thought he said them to manipulate her emotions? Anger burned in his veins, sizzling until he was certain he'd lose his grip. He turned to the side, panicked and frustrated because he had no idea what to say, what to do. She was breaking up with him. And he'd been planning forever with her. Her hand shook as she lifted it to the collar she wore around her neck.
No, he said hoarsely, turning fully back to her as she unfastened the clasp.
She let it fall into her hand, and then she held it out to him, pressing it into his palm.
I moved everything out of your apartment, she said in a low voice. I left the keys on your bar. Goodbye, Ash. You were the best and worst
thing that ever happened to me.
He held up his hand, trying to stop her, because no way in hell he was going to let her just walk out that door.
Wait just a goddamn minute, Josie. We're not finished. No way in fuck I'm giving up that easy. We're worth fighting for. You're worth fighting for, and I hope to fuck you think I'm worth it, no matter how upset you may be right now.
Please, Ash, I can't do this right now,
she begged. Her eyes were filled with tears, and more slipped rapidly down her cheeks.
Just let me go. I'm too upset to form a coherent argument, and the last thing I want is to say things I'll regret.
He closed the short distance between them, pulling her against his chest. He tilted her chin up with his fingers and stared down into her eyes.
I love you, Josie. That's a fact. No manipulation, no hidden agenda. I love you, period.
She closed her eyes and turned her face to the side. He cupped her cheek and thumbed away one of the silver trails.
Just tell me why, she whispered. Why did you do it? Why didn't you tell me? Why hide it from me?
He sighed.
I don't know,
he admitted.
Maybe I thought you'd react just like you have, and I didn't want that.
I love the paintings, Josie. It pisses me off that because you found out I bought them, you think you have no talent and that no one wants your work. That's bullshit. She tugged herself away from him and presented her back, her shoulders shaking.
I'm too upset to have this conversation with you, Ash. Please, just let it go.
I'm not fucking letting it go when you just told me you moved your shit out of our apartment. You honestly expect me to just say, okay, have a nice life? Fuck that. The only nice life I want to have is with you.
She curled her arms around her waist, hugging herself.
I'm going back to my apartment. My stuff has already been moved. I can't stay. I promised the movers I'd meet them there.
Panic clawed at his throat. Helplessness gripped him. She was actually walking away. Over those goddamn paintings. He knew it was more than that. He understood why she was pissed. He'd never looked beyond the fact that he'd bought them, to see how it would make her feel once she discovered it was all a lie. He got that. But how the fuck was he supposed to make it up to her? To make her realize how much she had to offer, if she was sleeping in another bed, in another part of the city? She started toward the door, him staring after her, utterly paralyzed, his heart in his stomach.
Josie, stop. Please.
At the please, she stopped, but didn't turn around.
Look at me, please,
he said softly. Slowly, she turned, her eyes awash with fresh tears. He cursed softly because he never wanted to be the reason for those tears.
Swear to me you'll think about it. And us,
he said in a choked voice.
I'll give you tonight, baby. But if you think I'm going to give up and let you walk away, then you don't know me very well.
She closed her eyes and sucked in a deep breath.
I'll think about it, Ash. That's all I can promise. I have a lot to sort out in my head. You pulled the rug out from under me. I had to figure out what I'm going to do from here.
I knew when I entered this relationship with you that you promised to take care of me, to protect me, to provide for me.
And I was okay with that because I didn't need you to. Can you possibly understand the difference? I didn't have to be with you. I wanted to be. If I'd had no other choice, no place to live, no money, then how could you ever be certain I wasn't with you for your money? I never want that between us.
It's important to me to be independent and able to provide for myself, even if that's not what I end up doing.
But I want that choice. I want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and know that I have value, that I can support myself and make my own choices.
He closed his eyes because so much of what she said made sense. That's how he'd feel in her situation, too. And he'd looked right past that. Never considered how it would make her feel for him to buy the paintings and hide that from her. He fucked up. And now he could lose her because of that fuck-up.
I get it,
he said hoarsely.
I do, baby. I'll give it tonight. But I don't have to fucking like it. And I'm not giving up on us, so prepare yourself for that. No way in hell I'm giving you up.
She swallowed, her face still pale, her eyes still wounded. Then she turned and walked away, taking his heart and soul with her, leaving him standing there, holding the collar she'd taken from around her neck. Chapter 30. Josie spent a miserable night tossing and turning before she finally gave up and immersed herself in her painting. For the first time, the vibrant colors didn't come. There was nothing vivid about the scene she painted. It was dark, gray. There was a sadness to it that seeped onto the canvas without her realizing it was there. At dawn, her shoulders sagged, stiff and sore from the hours she'd spent on the painting. When she took it in, she winced. It was a clear image of her mood. Miserable. She nearly splattered paint on it to ruin it, but held back, her hands trembling before she finally affixed her trademark J in the lower right-hand corner. It was honest. It was also very good. It was just different from any of her other work. Perhaps this would be something more along the lines of what others wanted. Maybe people didn't want bright, cheerful, sexy fun. As she stared at the painting, the title came to her. Rain in Manhattan. Not particularly original, but it suited her mood, even if it was a perfect spring morning outside. The buildings in her painting were tall and gloomy, outlined by rain and overcast skies. She also realized that the building on the canvas was ashes. She sighed and rose, stretching her stiff muscles. She stumbled into the kitchen to make herself coffee, thankful that she still had an old canister in the cabinet. She would have to restock her apartment. All of the perishables had been thrown out when she'd moved, and only a few items remained, one of them being the coffee. She needed to bypass a mug and go straight for an IV infusion of caffeine. Holding the steaming cup in her hand, she went back into the living room and opened her blinds to let the early morning light in. Outside, the streets were quiet, only just now starting to come alive with the traffic of the day. She'd always loved her apartment. The rent for the brownstone was costing her a mint, though, and the realization hit her that she would have to move somewhere cheaper. There had been no unexpected windfall, no customer who loved her work and would buy whatever she brought in. She needed to make a trip to the art gallery and speak to Mr. Downing, make it clear that if she were to continue displaying her work there, that he couldn't sell it to Ash. He probably wouldn't allow her to bring in anything else, since she was refusing what had to be his best customer. How could she trust that Ash wouldn't simply buy it under a different name, one she'd never be able to trace back to him? Yes, she would have to move, reorder her priorities, and think about her options. She needed to create more jewelry and put it up for sale on her site. The site had languished since she'd moved in with Ash, all her focus going into her art. But she needed the money from the sale of her jewelry. When she produced regularly, she sold regularly. Her art would have to take a temporary back seat until she built up enough reserves to give her time to think about a new direction in her artwork. Mr. Downing had said she lacked vision and focus, that she was too scattered and all over the board. Evidently, he was right. But what would her new focus be? If people didn't like the cheerful, colorful work she created, then she had to rethink her vision. It shouldn't be too hard to come up with more of the depressing, gloomy paintings that she'd done this morning. She wouldn't get over Ash in a day, a week, or even a month. She loved him. She'd fallen hard and fast without a safety net. The old adage about playing with fire came to mind. She'd definitely played, throwing caution to the wind, and as a result, she'd been burnt. Shaking her head, she finished off her coffee and set the mug on the coffee table. She needed to get back to work, perhaps draw a companion piece for the Rain in Manhattan painting. She could then take both to Mr. Downing and see if he thought they'd sell better than her previous offerings. If not, plan B, whatever that was. She eyed her cell phone, which she'd put on silent, debated whether she should check for calls or messages. Then she sighed.
No one would be calling her, except maybe Ash, and she didn't want to think about him right now. Resisting the temptation to look at her messages, if there were any, she went back to work, driven to complete another piece. Her paintings usually took days. She tweaked endlessly, frowning over every little detail. But today, she put paint to canvas and didn't stop until it was done. So what if it was imperfect? It wasn't like all that attention to detail had gotten her very far before. She shook her head. God, she sounded like a whiny, feeling sorry for herself nitwit. This wasn't her, and she wasn't going to let it be her. She wasn't one to give up. She'd never given up her dream. Her mother had made her swear that she wouldn't. No way in hell she was going to let herself or her mother down. For hours she worked steadily, the sun rising higher and more sunlight shining through her window. At one point she closed her blinds because she felt too exposed to the passers-by on the sidewalk. She'd noticed a couple of guys walking back and forth on the street outside, seeming like they were trying to get a glimpse of her painting. Painting was private, even more so now that she was spilling her heart and her devastation onto the canvas. She'd just put the last touches on the painting when a knock sounded at her door. She froze, dismay coursing through her veins.
Was Ash here? He'd been blunt about the fact that he'd give her last night, but that he wasn't giving up on her or them. He'd wanted her to think about it, but she'd shoved the whole issue solidly from her mind and immersed herself in work. She rose, hands shaking. She could ignore the door, but she wasn't a coward. And if Ash had come all this way, the least she could do was tell him that she needed more time. Space. Her heart beating a mile a minute, she wiped her hands and went to the door. Taking a deep breath, she opened it. Blinking in surprise, she took in the fact that it was not Ash at her door. Was it disappointment she felt? She shook that idea off and stared wordlessly at Mia and Bethany, who wore determined expressions on their faces.
You look awful, Mia said bluntly. Have you slept at all?
Stupid question, Mia. It's obvious she hasn't, Bethany said.
What are you doing here?
Josie asked faintly.
To answer what will likely be your next question, no, Ash didn't send us, Mia said firmly. To answer your first question, we're here because we're dragging you to lunch with us and don't even think about telling us no.
Josie's mouth fell open. Bethany laughed.
You may as well give in gracefully, Josie, Bethany said, laughter still in her voice. Mia is very determined, and she's kind of scary when she sets her mind to something. I'm sure Gabe will attest to that fact.
Mia elbowed Bethany and scowled. Despite herself, Josie smiled, relief settling over her shoulders.
Can you give me just a minute to clean up? I've, been working,
she finished lamely.
Sure,
Mia chirped.
Come in, Josie said hastily. Have a seat. It's kind of a mess. I haven't unpacked or anything, and as I said, I've been working.
Is this your new stuff? Bethany asked softly when they entered the living room. Mia and Bethany were staring at the two paintings she'd just finished. Josie rubbed her hands down her pants legs and nodded.
They're really good, Mia said. So much emotion in them.
She turned sympathetic eyes toward Josie.
And it's obvious you're very upset.
Josie didn't know how to respond to that.
I'll, just be a minute, okay?
Mia and Bethany nodded, and Josie hurried into her bathroom to make herself more presentable. When she got a look at herself in the mirror, she winced. No wonder they told her she looked awful. She did. She splashed water on her face and hastily applied foundation and powder. She brushed her lashes with light mascara and then swiped on lip gloss. She wouldn't win any beauty pageants, but at least she didn't look quite so washed out and hollow. No amount of makeup in the world was going to fix the dark shadows under her eyes. When she returned to the living room, Mia and Bethany were waiting and quickly hustled her outside and toward the car parked just down the street. The two guys Josie had noticed earlier caught her attention once more, and she frowned. No doubt they were Ash's men, watching her, even though he'd sworn to give her at least last night. She shook her head. Trust Ash to do things his own way. Just as he'd always done.
In the back of her mind, she supposed it was good that he was still protecting her, but her trust in him had been shattered. Now, what should seem like protection was just one more sign of how controlling Ash was.
"We would have invited Brittany, too, but we were worried it might be a little awkward since she's Ash's sister," Mia said in a low voice once they were inside the car. Josie winced. Okay, obviously they did know about her breakup with Ash, and they weren't just inviting her to lunch as if everything was normal. Bethany slid her hand over Josie's and squeezed.
"Don't look like that, Josie. Everything will be fine. You'll see."
Tears burned her eyelids, and she battled fiercely to keep from breaking down.
"I'm not sure anything will ever be okay again."
"It will," Mia said fiercely.
"You can tell us all about it at lunch. Then we'll figure out how to kick Ash's ass."
Bethany laughed, and Josie just looked at her in bewilderment.
"But Ash is your friend," Josie said. "Aren't you mad at me for breaking up with him?"
"You're our friend," Mia said.
"Ash isn't our only connection to you, Josie, and women have to close ranks and stick together. I'm sure whatever the problem is, that it's Ash's fault."
"Absolutely," Bethany said loyally. "Gabe and Jace messed up plenty of times, so it's certainly par for the course that Ash would, too. He is a man, after all."
Josie laughed, even as tears welled in her eyes.
"Oh, God, I love you guys."
"We love you, too," Mia said. "Now let's get something yummy and fattening to eat and bitch about men."
10 minutes later, they were seated at a small pub not far from Josie's apartment. They placed their orders, and then Mia all but pounced on Josie.
"Okay, give us the dirt. All Gabe and Jace have said was that you broke up with Ash and moved out and that Ash got shit-faced drunk last night."
Josie winced and put her face in her hands. "Oh, God, I don't know what to do. On one hand, I'm pissed and hurt and a whole host of things. And on the other, I wonder if I've overreacted."
"What happened?"
Bethany asked softly.
Josie sighed and then recounted the entire story from beginning to end, leaving nothing out. Not the fact that Ash had her followed, him buying her mother's jewelry, and him insisting on her moving in with him after what happened with Michael, and then her discovery that he was the one who bought all her paintings.
"Wow,"
Mia said, sitting back in her seat.
"I would say I was surprised, but that so sounds like something Ash would do. Gabe and Jace, too,"
Bethany pointed out.
"They're very determined when they want something."
"True,"
Mia admitted. "They're persistent, if nothing else."
Bethany nodded her agreement.
"Did I overreact?"
Josie asked.
"Part of me says yes, while the other part of me is hurt. I mean, I'm pissed too, but more than that, I'm devastated."
"You didn't overreact, Josie," Bethany said. Mia sat forward again, her gaze earnest as she stared at Josie.
"I understand why you're upset, but listen to me, Josie, and I don't say this to hurt you. I'm saying it to make a point. Ash could have any woman he wanted. There are literally thousands of women who'd line up to have a chance with him, but he wants you."
Bethany nodded rapidly.
"I absolutely get what you're saying about taking away your independence and how what he did negated a lot of what you'd worked very hard to achieve. But here's the thing. Men are thick. Thick as a brick. Ash wanted to help you. Men like Ash only know one way. Their way. But Josie, he was so proud of you. He bragged to Jace and Gabe and even to me and Bethany about how talented you are. I don't think he ever in a million years meant to hurt you the way he has. He saw a way to help you, to provide for you, and to give you a sense of accomplishment. He may not have done it in the best way, but his intentions were good. I absolutely believe that. Ash is just so intense, but he has a huge heart,
evidenced by the fact that he helped his sister, who was a bitch to him for years, and despite the fact that his family are huge assholes, he still can't quite turn his back on them.
I had a lot of issues with the fact that Jace wanted me, Bethany said quietly. It baffled me that he turned the city over looking for me after that first night, and that he went to such lengths to help me, to provide for me. He, like Ash, could have any woman he wanted, but he wanted me, just like Ash wants you. We can sit here and analyze it and try to understand it, but at the end of the day,
They want who they want, and that happens to be us. And Jace made plenty of mistakes along the way, but we worked past those issues, and I'm so glad we did because he makes me so happy. I'd never have this with another man. I wouldn't want to.
So, you think I'm making too big a deal out of this? Josie said ruefully.
Mia shook her head.
No, honey, I don't. I think it's obviously important to you, and I absolutely think Ash should know that and recognize what he did was wrong. But at the same time, is it something you can't forgive him for? Because really, what did he do that was so bad? His heart was in the right place, even if he went about it all wrong.
And there it was, in a nutshell.
Was it really so unforgivable?
Sure, she had a right to be angry, but moving out? Breaking up? That was so permanent. She dropped her face into her hands.
Oh, God, I did overreact.
Bethany slid her hand over Josie's back.
I should have confronted him. Absolutely, but I completely overreacted. I shouldn't have done what I did. Now he's going to be so pissed at me, and I don't blame him.
He won't be pissed, Josie,
Mia said softly.
He'll just be glad to have you back.
She shook her head miserably.
It's worse than what you think. He said... She sighed. He said he loved me and I threw it back at him. I said some pretty horrible things, like that I couldn't trust that he wasn't saying it to manipulate me.
Was it the first time he told you? Bethany asked gently.
Josie nodded.
Then it's understandable that you would have reacted the way you did, Mia said. Do you love him?
Oh, yeah, Josie breathed, completely and utterly in love with him.
Bethany beamed.
There. You love each other. You can work this out. He'll forgive you, and you'll forgive him.
You make it sound so easy, Josie muttered.
I was such a hysterical twit. I can't believe I marched into his office and said the things I said. I wish there was a rewind button and I had it to do all over again.
Love isn't perfect, Mia said. We've all made mistakes. Gabe, Jace, me, Bethany, and now you and Ash. It's not supposed to be perfect. It's what you make it. And you can make it really special, Josie. Go and talk to him, or call him. Make things right, and give him the chance to make things right.
Some of the heavy weight lifted off Josie's shoulders. Hope crept in, and with it the realization that this wasn't the end. Nothing Ash had done was unforgivable. She'd make mistakes, there was no doubt she would, but she absolutely believed that Ash would be a lot more forgiving of her mistakes than she'd been of his.
Thanks, you guys, she said, smiling with relief. I'm going to go home, take a shower, and call Ash and hope he's not too pissed to listen to me apologize.
Mia smiled back.
Oh, he'll listen. Come on, let's go. We'll drop you back by your apartment.
Josie shook her head.
Thanks, but I'll walk. I need some time to get my thoughts together. I want to get this just right.
You sure? Bethany asked.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not that far, and it will give me the chance to work up my nerve to call him.
Okay, but you have to swear to text me and Bethany and let us know how it goes,
Mia demanded.
I will. Promise. And thanks again. This means a lot to me. That you'd be willing to kick his ass when we've only known each other a short time?
Mia grinned.
What are friends for?
Josie rose, hugged both of the women fiercely, and promised again to text them the minute she got things worked out with Ash. Then she walked out with them and waited while they got into the car and waved as they pulled away. Slinging her purse over her shoulder, she started walking in the direction of her apartment. Her thoughts were a whirlwind, but excitement and relief replaced her earlier gloom. Now she just had to hope that Ash would forgive her and that he really did love her. The walk took longer than she'd thought, and by the time she reached her apartment, she was tired from not having slept the night before, and she was impatient to get inside, take a shower, and call Ash. She cursed the fact that she'd left her cell phone in her living room. She could have already read her texts and listened to her voicemails. They would give her a good idea of Ash's mood and whether it would be a simple matter of apologizing to him. She put her key in the lock, frowning when she realized she must have forgotten to lock it on her way out, but then the last thing on her mind hadn't been whether she locked up or not. She really needed to be more careful. Of course, if she and Ash reconciled, she wouldn't have to worry about that, because he always made certain she was protected. For that matter, he had still made sure she was protected, even though she'd left him. But then, she hadn't noticed her two shadows when she returned to her apartment. Had they given up? Had Ash given up? A frown tugged at her lips as she pushed inside, closing and locking the door behind her. But the smile disappeared the minute she stepped inside her living room and realized she wasn't alone. Her breath caught when she saw three men standing, waiting, grim expressions on their faces. She recognized two of them from before, what she'd assumed were Ash's men, for her protection. In that instant, she knew she was terribly wrong. These men weren't here to protect her at all. Before she could react, one moved in quickly behind her, barring her pathway to the door. Not that she would have had time to escape anyway, since she'd locked her door on the way in.
"Miss Carlyle,"
one of the men said in a tone that sent shivers down her skin.
"There's a message I want you to deliver to Gabe Hamilton, Jace Crestwell, and Ash McIntyre."
Before she could demand to know what he was talking about and that they get the hell out of her apartment, pain exploded through her body. She lay sprawled on the floor, utterly bewildered. And then pain, more pain, agonizing, splintering through her body as they meted out violence. Blood smeared her nose. She could taste it in her mouth. She couldn't breathe right. It hurt too much. She couldn't even scream. She was going to die. That thought hit her, and oddly, she didn't fight it because it meant escape from the horrific agony she was enduring. Then it went silent. A hand dug into her hair and yanked her head painfully upward. A man leaned into her face, his nose just inches from her own.
"You tell them that nothing they hold dear is safe from me. I'm coming after them. They will regret the day they ever fucked with me. They ruined me. And by God, I'll ruin them before I'm done."
He shoved something into her hand and then dropped her head back onto the floor. Pain shot down her spine. She heard footsteps and then her door opening and then it closing. A low whimper stuttered past stiff, swollen lips. Ash. She had to get to her cell phone and call him. Had to warn him. He'd come for her. Everything would be all right if she could just get to her phone. She tried to push herself up and shrieked in agony when she put weight on her right hand. She stared down at it, her vision fuzzy, one eye nearly swollen shut. What was wrong with her hand? Using her elbow to prop herself up, she dragged herself toward the coffee table where she'd left her phone. She reached up for it, knocking it onto the floor, and then praying she hadn't broken it. With her left hand, she fumbled to push the right button to bring up her contacts. Then she changed her mind and hit recent calls because his would have been the last. She hit his name, and with a whispered prayer, she waited for him to answer. Chapter 31. Ash sat in on the staff meeting with Gabe and their executives, but his mind was anywhere but here in this room. He had a hangover from hell after getting roaring drunk the night before. Gabe and Jace had poured him into a car and then brought him home and tossed him on his bed. He'd woken up the next morning feeling like he'd been run over by a truck, but the pain of the headache was nothing compared to the pain of losing Josie. No, he hadn't lost her. Not yet. He wouldn't let himself go there. She was upset, rightfully so, and he'd given her last night. Time to spend apart from him, and hopefully decide when she got over her initial anger that this was something they could work through. At any rate, he'd given her all the time he was going to. As soon as this fucking meeting ended, he was out of here. He was going to Josie's apartment and would get on his knees if he had to. Whatever it took to get her back home, to their apartment, in his arms and in his bed. And then he was never going to let her go again. His phone vibrated and he glanced down, his heart clenching when he saw it was Josie calling. Without saying a word, he abruptly got up and walked out of the meeting, the phone already to his ear.
Josie,
baby, he cut in before she could even say anything. There was a long silence, and at first he thought she'd hung up, but then he heard it, and the sound froze his blood. A low whimper of pain. His heart dropped into his stomach.
Josie, talk to me, he demanded. What's wrong? Where are you?
Ash.
His name came out, barely a whisper, and it was obvious that she was in a lot of pain.
I'm here, baby. Tell me what's happened. Where are you?
Need you, she whispered. Hurt. It's bad.
Panic froze him in place. He couldn't think, couldn't act, couldn't process anything but the agony in her voice.
Where are you? He demanded.
Apartment.
I'm on my way, baby. Hold tight, okay? I'll be there in just a minute. He turned in the hallway, having gotten no farther than the door where the meeting was being held, and ran solidly into Gabe.
What's wrong? Gabe demanded. I heard you on the phone with Josie. What's happened?
I don't know,
Ash choked out. She's hurt. I have to go. She's at her apartment.
Come on, I'll go with you,
Gabe said grimly, even as he started striding down the hall toward the elevators. Not arguing, Ash ran after him, his heart beating like a hammer.
Did you say what happened?
Gabe asked when they'd gotten into the car.
No,
Ash clipped out.
Fuck! It's okay, man. We'll get to her. She'll be okay. You have to believe that.
You said Mia and Bethany had lunch with her. Have you heard from Mia? What could possibly have happened? They can't have finished that long ago. Gabe paled, and then immediately dialed Mia's number.
Are you okay?
Gabe asked bluntly. Then his shoulders sagged in relief. Mia must be fine. But Josie wasn't. What the fuck could have happened?
When did you and Bethany leave Josie?
Gabe asked. He listened a moment and then said goodbye without telling Mia anything about Josie.
Well?
Ash demanded, silently urging the driver to go faster. They were already driving recklessly.
She said Josie walked back to her apartment after they had lunch. That was an hour ago.
Ash closed his eyes. He should have kept a man on her. What if Michael had gotten to her? He'd refused to put anyone on her, not wanting to upset her even more than she already was. He'd promised her space, and now that space had cost her. A few minutes later, the car squealed to a stop in front of Josie's brownstone, and Ash jumped out, Gabe close on his heels. The first thing he registered when he burst through her door was the smell of blood. His own went cold, freezing in his veins. He tore into the living room, his heart seizing as he took in the sight before him.
Sweet mother of God, he choked out.
Josie lay in a bloody heap in front of the coffee table. Blood was smeared on the floor where she'd evidently dragged herself to the phone.
Call an ambulance,
Ash barked to Gabe.
God, he should have already called one, but he hadn't been thinking.
His only thought had been to get to her as fast as he could, and maybe he'd denied that it would be this bad. He ran over, dropping to his knees beside her, afraid to touch her because, oh God, the blood. Her face was a mess, eyes swollen, lips split and bleeding.
Josie. Josie, darling, I'm here. It's me, Ash. Talk to me, baby. Please, open your eyes and talk to me.
He was pleading with her even as he put a shaky finger to her neck to feel for a pulse. She stirred, emitting a soft moan that seared his heart and cut straight to his soul.
Ah, Ash.
Her words were slurred, distorted by her swollen lips. He smoothed a hand over her forehead, because it was the only place she wasn't bruised or bleeding.
Yes, baby, it's me. I'm here. Tell me what happened, Josie. Who did this to you?
Hurts to breathe, she said.
And then she stopped, coughing and choking as a stream of blood trickled from the corner of her mouth.
Oh, God, she was hurt badly. Someone had beat the ever-loving hell out of her.
Rage exploded through his chest until he couldn't breathe either. His vision went dim, his pulse about to beat out of his head.
He was coming apart,
unraveling at the seams. His hands shook so badly that he had to pull them away from her skin so he didn't risk hurting her. She tried to lift her left hand, and he saw she was holding something. He gently pulled it away, frowning when he saw it was a picture. Bile rose in his throat as he stared in disbelief. It was a picture of Mia. Dear God, she was naked, tied up and spread out on what looked like a coffee table. The man in the picture was Charles Willis, and he was trying to shove his dick inside her mouth. He quickly stuffed the picture into his pocket before Gabe could see it. Gabe would lose his fucking mind, and right now the only thing Ash was worried about was Josie and getting her to a hospital. They'd deal with the picture later.
"Is she okay?" Gabe asked as he dropped down beside Ash. "Jesus, she's obviously not okay. Ambulance is on the way. ETA is 5 minutes. What the fuck happened?"
"I don't know," Ash said, his voice still shaking with fury. He leaned down and pressed a kiss to Josie's forehead, too afraid to do what he most wanted and gather her in his arms. She obviously had internal injuries, and he didn't want to cause her further injury.
"Who did this to you, baby? Can you tell me?"
he asked her gently. Tears gathered in her eyes and slid silently down her cheeks. Each one broke his heart. He wanted to cry with her, but he refused to break down. She needed him to be strong. He would be strong. No way he was going to let her down again.
"He had a message,"